In your Bibles to Genesis chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 1 through 17. This Lord's Day morning, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, which is the translation in your pew Bibles. Genesis 7, beginning in verse 1, reading through verse 17. How good it is to hear by God's grace, having opened our ears, these words as they are, by the Spirit's power, the inspired and infallible living word of the living God, to we, his people, whom he has given new life. Genesis 7, beginning in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, 2 and 2, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons, with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days in the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The word of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for saving us, indeed from the great deep, indeed from the spiritual darkness out of which you have saved us. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we thank you that he was the object of Noah's faith, of his family's. And Father, thank you that he has been the object of the saving faith that you have given your church, Old Testament and New, throughout time. Thank you that we know Jesus by name now that he has come. Thank you for hearing our prayers in that name. May he grow ever greater in our eyes on this, his, the Lord's Day. Thank you that we pray this boldly in the Spirit. Father, thank you for the Spirit's power to illumine the hearts of all he brings to the living word, to your son, Jesus. Thank you that he is here now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible, Old Testament and New, the Bible is often, at various times, a book of boats. And that's very good news. Not just for Matt Avery and for Craig Hill, it's good news for all of us. It is good news that the picture of salvation in Old Testament and New is of the Lord saving those doomed to darkness under the waters of sin, under judgment and great deep, and raising them up where they can see the light, having broken through all that kept them weighed down in the wages of sin, the guilt of sin. But one boat at a time. And here we are with Noah and with his ark. And the Lord has prepared Noah in the same way that he has prepared you for the effectual calling he has on you. We see in Noah what you know is true for you. The Lord always prepares those he calls to his church to answer his call. You and Noah have received the effectual calling of God. You, again, no less than our forefather. The New Testament authors are very clear that you are part of the same church as Noah was and is. The Lord was faithful to Noah, and he has been faithful to you. And as we look at Noah 1 week before the flood came, we do so in our own time of transition. Our church is an ark, in a sense. Things will change for Noah and his family in a very tangible way once the transition to the flood comes. And things will change for all of us as well as we end our time here as a covenant family. And as Michael Borg begins to take up his labors as the man that God has called to come to become the new pastor of Providence with one Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before, during, and after each temporary pastor who is blessed to see Christ work among you and in you for a season. Even the paint in the pastor's office, as I found out this morning, will change along with the pastor. Out with the old and in with the new. But the Lord has been preparing Noah for his transition for a long time, and he has been preparing you for these days as well. First, let's look at God's preparing Noah to answer his call. And again, notice that the ark is the church of Noah's day. Now this, as the sanctuary and the other buildings here at Providence, are a church in the same sense that the ark was in this day. Indeed, the church is always about the people of God. That is true for Noah. It's true for you. The church, biblically understood, is always the gathering of God's people to worship Him, to express thanksgiving that He has saved him. That is very true. The church is about the people of God. But the church on this day is made up of Noah, his wife, their sons, and their sons' wives. But God has called Noah and his family, the church of the entire world on this day, to gather together in one place, to gather together in this ark. And God has been preparing Noah and his family to answer his call to enter the ark again for a long time. In Noah's case, to some extent, 100 years in context, but to a profound extent, his whole life. And the same is true for you on your pilgrimage on this particular Lord's Day in the midst of the Lord's calling and His hand upon you. God called Noah, of course, to build the ark before He called him to go into the ark. You can relate to this. Noah worked very hard on the ark. He worked for 100 years. As Calvin reminds us of Noah's working in the ark for 100 years, he wants to be sure that the church understands the magnitude of what Noah did building the ark long before the flood came. He worked on a boat that whole time in the middle of a beautiful world that did not appear to be headed for destruction, for a flood. Calvin writes this: "He has commanded Noah to forsake the world that he might live in a sepulcher which he had been laboriously digging for himself for more than 100 years. Why was this? Because in a little while, the earth was to be submerged in a deluge of waters. Yet nothing of the kind is apparent. All indulge in feasts, celebrate nuptials, build sumptuous houses. In short, everywhere daintiness and luxury prevail. As Christ himself testifies that age was intoxicated with its own pleasures. Wherefore, it was not without reason that the Lord encouraged and fortified the mind of his servant Noah afresh by the renewal of the promise, lest he should faint." Does that sound familiar? Of course, you know it does. The Lord is doing the same thing for you this morning that He did for Noah so long ago as He built and worked on the building of that ark. Now, the Lord reminds us that, again, Noah and this ark is a part of the church in verses 2 through 3. We talked about this last week. Again, the Lord brings this reminder several times in the testimony of Noah. Pairs of unclean animals, but 7 pairs of clean ones. Why? Because Noah, like you, is a sinner. His righteousness, his faith, is not in his own righteousness. It's in the righteousness of Messiah who would come. He knows full well that, again, blood will be needed to be shed for the guilt of his sin. Again, his righteousness is a righteousness like Abraham, like you, of faith in the Holy Lamb of God alone. And so he obeys the command as a man of faith to take 7 pairs of the clean animals. But again, the sacrifices of the church in the Old Testament, again, the sacrifices are for the church. And again, these animals, these sacrifices for the church are brought onto the ark along with those who again will have the atoning blood of Jesus shed for them, even as it has been shed for you. These sacrifices, these animals, these seven pairs of clean animals, they are reminders of what Christ the Lord's anointed would do when he came as both the high priest and the holy, clean, without blemish Lamb of God. Now, the Lord reminds you of the sacrifice, the blood of Christ, in different ways. Different for Noah back then before Christ came. It was through the sacrificial animals. He has reminded you this morning of Christ's sacrifice for you by baptism. You remember full well as you hear the baptismal formula that Jesus gave to his church before he ascended on high, that it is Christ's blood that has cleansed you. You have been washed clean by Jesus taking your guilt away. And like Noah, you have worked on the place where God calls his people to come, to be saved from the judgment to come and to proclaim that salvation. This church, of course, is not an ark. It is not a boat. But it, no less than the ark, is where God has gathered his people as he did in the days leading up to the flood. Now, again, you have not put pitch on wood to keep the water out, but you have worked on work days on this very building. You have worked, so many of you, preparing food for snacks and for fellowship meals. You have worked on vacation Bible schools for Christmas, Spring's Women's Luncheon. The list goes on and on of labors that you, like Noah, have done in faith, knowing that God is saving sinners from the judgment to come. So many of you have taught Sunday school. Again, the list go on and on, cooking meals for families with members recovering from surgery. And most of all, you have prayed for God to bless his church worldwide, to continue to save sinners to the glory of his name. And you have prayed that he would allow this church to take its place in this ark along a world that is full of boats from which the gospel is proclaimed and where Jesus fishes men out of the depths. That brings us to verses 6 to 10. Noah was called to start working on the church building of his day on the ark when he was 500 years old. It is his 600th year when it starts raining. And Calvin makes the point that the time of year is important. Again, the strength of Noah's faith, the strength of your faith. It's not just that the world didn't look like it was going to be flooded. It was the second month. When Noah is called to go into the ark, and 7 days later when the floods come. That is the time of spring in the Hebrew calendar. And so Calvin makes the point, actually he is submitting to God who is making the point, that this is what God does. The world looks very beautiful. Your neighbors are confounded that in weather like this, you come here to hear words read out of a book. But you know with your eyes that see the glory, the light of Jesus Christ, indeed, that like Noah before you, when it does not look apparent that judgment is coming, you come indeed to hear the message of salvation out of this world. And Noah and Calvin reminds several places in Noah's testimony that God has spoken to him and called him to enter the ark 7 days before the rain starts. And here you are in this beautiful day because, again, God saves you from his judgment and from the evil of this fallen age, no less than he did Noah. Now, again, Calvin is eager for us to be able to make the link in terms of God's word to Noah and God's word to us. Again, the same word, the same gospel. He writes, although oracles are not now brought down from heaven, let us know the continual meditation on the word is not ineffectual. For as new difficulties perpetually arise before us, so God, by one and another promise, establishes our faith, so that our strength being renewed, we may at length arrive at the goal. And again, you're headed home, and we praise the Lord for that, even as we pray for those who have loved ones that are on the verge of their transition, again, into glory. Appearances can be very deceiving indeed. The law of God written on every human heart, indeed, the world, it is known, even the lost must acknowledge that it is not a safe place. And so there are two aspects here, very important as the Lord brings you here. And as the Lord brought Noah onto that ark, Noah did not want, again, the fleeting beauty of God's glory or of the fleeting beauty of creation. Indeed, apart from knowing that there was an everlasting redemption that was his. And the same thing is true for you. Indeed, the trinkets, the idolatries of this life, again, that fades after a time. This side of glory where moth and rust destroy, it has no hold on you. And so the application to these verses in 6 for 10 is, again, that you rejoice that while the world is so enamored of that which is going to be burned up in the judgment, that it is not enamoring to you. And every time it is, you have a Holy Spirit that convicts you and, again, keeps bringing you here that you can be reminded where your treasure and where your hope lies. And indeed, it is true as well that Noah was being prepared to live the abundant life that belongs to all the saints whose faith is in his promised Messiah. Noah would one day leave the ark after the rain that begins, just as God said it would. And Peter the Apostle, who describes Noah in the days leading up to his going into the ark, as we have said in 2 Peter 2, Noah is described as a herald of righteousness, he also, Peter, goes on to make a connection between Noah's testimony in the church in these days and yours in our days. The scoffing of the world, if we had time, we would look at 1 Peter 3. Again, people in Noah's day, again, they laughed because the world had been around so long without the judgment that God said would come and that Noah preached without that judgment coming. And you know full well what the world says about your Lord. Right? The New Testament has to be false because all the apostles are talking about their time being the last days. Indeed, that Jesus seemed to be describing that he would come in a very short little while. And it's in 1 Peter that the Lord inspires him to give the good news, again, as the Lord has been patient to wait until you profess faith in Jesus, that a day to the Lord is how long? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. And he goes on to express this, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Again, do not regret the Lord's patience. Do not count him delaying long to come back, that after you have suffered a little while, again, it will seem like no time before Christ comes again. But he is patient to continue to save sinners now. And indeed, the hope of Noah here is a picture of that hope, as indeed the New Testament is as well, a book about boats. But before we get there, in verses 11 through 15, there's one last point that Calvin makes in these verses 6 through 10. It has a very direct relevance upon you, upon this church. Calvin makes the observation of pointing to Noah's age. Calvin, who had his afflictions as he grew older, he wondered what it must have been like to feel the aches and pains of age in the fallen world at the age of 600. He writes this: "It is not without reason that he again mentions the age of Noah. For old age has this among other evils, that it renders more indolent and morose. Whence the faith of Noah was the more conspicuous, because it did not fail him in that advanced period of life." Now that's a testimony that rings true here. Those of you who can relate, indeed, to the aches and pains of older ages, you have just as much to thank the Lord for as Noah had in this regard. You are a congregation and a generation that is truly young at heart. The energy with which you use to worship the Lord, to serve Him, to express your thanksgiving, to get to know visitors, the young children that come through these doors, all the facets of ministry in which you engage, it speaks to the Spirit's power and to the joy of the Lord that is within you. There is energy for God's Word here among the aged. And again, that's the same power of the Holy Spirit manifest in Noah, who with the joy of the Lord served him at his advanced age. And all of us with young children give praise to the Lord for how you served the Lord with gladness before all of us and our children from their earliest days. Now, that does bring us to the New Testament boats, to verses 11 through 15 here. Again, the waters come. You know what this looks like for Noah's boat. It begins to rain. The picture is so vivid. The waters of judgment from above and below. Notice it's the great deep that bursts forth, again, to wash away the evil that has taken over the earth. The picture of creation in Genesis 1, of all of this chaos, the great deep. And the Lord pushes back all of that chaos, separates the waters, so that there can be life and praise given to Him from His image bearers. For a man made in the image of God that is placed upon dry land, to be God's vice regent over the dry land. But now, as man has failed in that calling, the chaos has been brought back, again with the exception of Noah and his family. And in the midst of the rain and the waters of a great deep bursting forth, it is on the ark, it is in the church that is full of life. Now, that's the New Testament application for us today, and it is glorious. The church is full today too, but not with animals, with men and women and children born again. Again, as the ark is filled with life in Genesis chapter 7, in the New Testament, the church is filled with the new life, indeed, of the number of redeemed that has grown and exploded in the grace and patience of God. You've seen that here. Your church is full. You had other arks, in a sense, that could not hold as many people that the Lord brings to worship now. Many of you here have gone door to door back when we worshiped close to neighborhoods that were not deed restricted. You have invited neighbors and friends to escape the judgment to come to the ark that is now here. Again, you have taught unchurched children in various contexts as a church family. You have invited families to baseball outreach, craft club, or to church on the Lord's Day, of course, like this one. The Lord has nourished your faith and your ark is full. And indeed, the boat of salvation of those that the Lord has saved out of the depths is full worldwide indeed. Now, if we had time, we'd go to Luke chapter 5. Jesus starts his ministry by calling apostles that he's known full well from all eternity. He would be calling off of boats. And you remember what happens in Luke 5, right? Peter's a fisherman, but he doesn't seem to be any great shakes as a fisherman. He's been fishing all night and nothing has happened, right? And Jesus, as a fisher of men, again, he in Luke 5, again, all over the New Testament, he's always sitting in a boat on top of the sea, teaching those that he is saving out of the depths of sin. And in the midst of Jesus being a fisher of men, he promises his apostles that indeed he will make them fishers of men too. And he uses the analogy, indeed, what the being a proclaimer of the gospel, he uses fishing as the metaphor. And you remember the story full well. He tells Peter, put down your net on the other side. And Peter, again, as the Lord is growing himself in magnitude in Peter's eyes as he is in yours, he does so. And again, the nets are so bursting that, again, he's got to bring others to help him because the nets are so full. Indeed, what a blessed Lord's Day this is to ponder. Indeed, how the Lord has blessed us. He has taught us how to fish over 8.5 blessed years. And it is wonderful that, again, in the future, as again, the different fishermen change. The apostles have been with the Lord for 2 millennia. But the fishing of men goes on by our Lord. He's got different poles, different weak vessels, different means that he uses for a season. But the Lord's fishing is always the same and always just as effective. And so it is, again, that the fishing of the lost and watching Jesus save them continues. And again, fishing in the New Testament is always a group event. Again, that imagery is very precious to you, that again, the Lord calls, the nets are so full, you can't possibly do all of the growing, the discipling, the encouraging of the fish that Jesus has saved by yourself. Again, the Lord always keeps the church humble in needing a whole church to work together, again, as He grows His people in great grace. Now, we'll finish with this, again, verses 16 through 17. The picture in verses 11 through 15 is an ark that gets full just in the nick of time of judgment, as it's full of animals. And again, in the New Testament, the church, in just in the nick of time in these last days, gets full with people, again, who are born again with new life. And then, as our text closes, we read these precious words. Verse 16, those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That is good, comforting language indeed. The Lord has called you to work in this church. You've worked hard. And it's the Lord that brought you into this church, again, through hearing about the good news of Jesus, through imperfect vessels. But you're not here because of any of the elders. any pastor. You're not here because of anyone. Noah couldn't stay in the ark because of the labors of his own hands. The Lord, Noah went into the ark that he had built, but the Lord shut him in. And that's very intentional language in the Hebrew. The imagery is that the Lord kept Noah in an ark that he would have fallen out of if the Lord had not supernaturally kept him in. And so in this time of transition, remember how you end up here every Lord's Day. Again, the names will change, the generations will change, but the Lord, as He saves you and brings you into His church, the Lord shuts you in. And as you are kept in the church that the Lord has placed you in, verse 17 as our text closes, the flood continued 40 days on the earth, the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. Boy, if we had time, we could talk about that dove. Remember the dove? Gets sent out. And again, how does the Holy Spirit appear as it descends upon Jesus? He appears as a dove, right? And as Jesus ascends, His promise is that the Holy Spirit will be sent out indeed across all the waters, across all the lands. His church will be gathered of every tribe and every tongue. As we read about the ark, again, it is full with life, and the church that we are a part of is full of new life. Again, worship is often described as the opening up spiritually of the church ceiling and the glory of the heaven coming down. That works in a profound sense. But biblically, notice the imagery that God gives us here. What happens to the church, to the ark, in the midst of all the judgment of sin? The Lord raises the ark up high above the waters of judgment. And this is not unique to the Old Testament. This is your testimony. Worship is about you being lifted up on Mount Zion, being brought close to the Lord that you love so dearly, who is with you right now. As we close, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Again, the language of boats in the New Testament and in our understanding of salvation. We'll begin in verse 1. And we'll read through verse 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Indeed, we needed to be fished out of the depths of judgment by our Lord before we could ever be fishers of men. That's what Paul is describing here, verses 1 through 3. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up, like Noah before us, with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in them. That's where we'll close. The ark that the Lord has raised up. Again, the ark is the workmanship of God through His servant Noah. But Noah is the workmanship of God. And again, so are you. The Lord has brought you into a church that you have worked hard on, physical facilities, but in the ministries of the proclamation of Jesus Christ, who fishes men out of the depths of the sea to save them. And so too, again, as you see the workmanship of the church corporate, remember that you indeed are a part of the workmanship of Jesus Christ upon you. So with that, we will close and give glory. Remember who you are. And as you read Covenant Children about Noah, again, remember that you spiritually are no less on an ark than he was. And when you come to church on Sunday with your covenant moms and dads, remember what happens when you are here in the ark where God's people are gathered. The Lord raises you up no less than Noah, spiritually speaking. He seats you with Jesus Christ, your Lord, in the heavenly places. You are there right now. Let's pray to Him as He has brought us out of the depths to there. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you have prepared Noah indeed for his ministry as a herald of righteousness, as a proclaimer of the righteousness of the Messiah who would one day come and fulfill the sacrifices of all the seven pairs of animals that he gathered on the ark to shed blood for the guilt of sinners like himself and like ourselves. Thank you that Jesus Christ has come, that he is our alone high priest and he is the holy Lamb of God. And thank you that sacrifices are no longer offered. Instead, we have the sacraments to remind us of the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you that as the Lord saves us, indeed we do the works that he created us to do and planned for us before time ever began. And thank you that as we see good works in the church, we are encouraged by them. We are even blessed to do them. We remember that these are all reflections of the alone perfect work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you that we are his workmanship, that we are tools in his hands as he continues to fish men and women out of the darkness of sin and to pull them above the waters of judgment and indeed to save them and place them alongside him. Thank you that you have raised us up and that we are seated with Christ on this Lord's Day. In the name of the Lord we pray. Amen.